White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 466.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com and by people like you. The Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, you are our patreon.com Wishbone family. And we only are supported by you, our listeners. We don't run any ads and things like that. So join the fun. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host...
I'm John Ringer.
John, we are back, still in containment, obviously, and doing other things. But and tonight, of course, we're going to do the latest installment in our journey through classic, awesome Auburn football games from years we were not doing this show. Although the one we're doing tonight is getting awfully close, because we started our show in 2012, and tonight we're doing a game from the great, great, great year of 2010. By the way, for those who enjoy the We Believed series, I spent a good chunk of this morning working on episode 8 of We Believed, and I am now into the 2012 season. So I've completely edited and engineered together 2009, 10, and 11, and I'm into 12.
I'm sorry for you.
I know. It's funny because the show is already almost 2.5 hours long at this point, just because all the 2010 stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I got to the end of 2010, I'm like, this is going to be a 4-hour show. And I looked at how much audio we recorded. We spent like, if it's 2 hours long before I put in all the clips, we probably spent about an hour and 45 minutes on 2009 and 2010 and 15 minutes on 2011, 2012, if that.
And?
I'm not complaining. So, yeah, it's going to end up being about 2.5 hours long. I think it's our longest episode yet, but it's just because there was so much. It's not just that there were so many things worth including from 2010, but there was so much available. You know, and when I was back doing like 1983, it was hard to find. You know, there's not like audio clips of Jim Fife every play of the Maryland game. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I could have done Rod Bramblett any moment of any game. And I've got the entire season on DVD with the Auburn. Well, no, some of it's with the Auburn network and some with not. But anyway, so there's just so much worth it. And there's so much. So it's going to be a long episode, but it'll be a long probably. I'll probably have it for the patrons up on the Patreon page by the end of this week, if not before.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And that means, I believe we've already released episode 7 to the general public. I think I posted it like in 2 or 3 pieces, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's out there. So right now, the only thing that's not out there is the one I'm working on now. Well, anyway, what's new with you? How are you coping, sir?
I'm doing fine. Hanging in there. You know. Spending time, lots of time with the family, and
that's for sure.
Everybody's working from home and stuff. It's all good.
Well, we wrapped up the regular classes for my classes on Thursday, and my students are all taking the final exam online right now. They'll be finished up probably Wednesday, and then I'll do the grades, and that'll be it for a while. I ended up with 3 later starting summer classes, so I have like a month off. So. I'm instead of being home working, I'll be home not working. So I'm planning on getting a lot of other stuff accomplished, like finishing We Believed episode 8, and then we'll see from there. We're also, by the way, 60% through of the We Believe book, at least volume 1. So that's pretty cool too, huh?
Very exciting. I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, you and I have worked pretty hard on it. You've done a ton of work getting it all ready, and then I've gone in and like basically rewritten it essentially and added new stuff, because we really want people to have something new out of it and to read like a book and not like, you know, audio.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's kind of what we're doing. And then I figure you and I can go back over it again once the whole thing is done and just see if we want to change anything or add anything. So that'll be cool. All right. Is there any Auburn-specific news? I do know that JT Thor signed his papers today, I believe.
I was heads down working today, a little bit out of the loop on stuff. So
yeah, Amy saw that on on Instagram, I believe. She's on there, and I'm not. He actually signed, so he signed, sealed, and delivered. And she also told me that a linebacker transferred away from us.
Again, I'm out of the loop on that. I know we got a big basketball commitment from a center.
Oh yeah,
over the weekend
we did. Yeah,
so I think that's a good thing. And again, like, he's one of the lower rated prospects we have, but he's like, you know, whatever, the 50th best prospect in the country. He's one of the lower prospects we have, which is just a little bit bonkers for all.
That is absolutely, yeah. I just Googled Auburn linebacker transfers, but they all seem to be from back in 2019. So, and there's a bunch. Michael Harris. Richard Jabuner, I remember him leaving. Well, anyway, we'll see. But in any case, is there any other Auburn news going on? We want to go right on into our game for tonight.
I don't think there's any other big news happening.
Okay. I know that Gus did a live press conference thing. Oh, the other thing he did you see this? One of the ESPN guys had Gus on, and they went through the prayer at Jordan-Hare and then the kick six, and Gus kind of talked about what he was doing during them and what he was thinking and all. It was really fun.
Well, and then CBS Sports had a thing on with him and Bo Nix, I think, the other day.
Yeah, that's right. So there's been a lot going on there. I haven't seen hardly any other coaches and players doing that. Maybe it's just where I'm looking, but yeah, I saw him and Bo cutting up on there. But it was neat to it seems like when he said he watched Nick Marshall throw the ball on the prayer in Jordan-Hare, he just kind of looked away and looked down like, well, oh well. And then everybody starts cheering and he looks back up again. So he said he didn't see it till he got home and watched it on television, I think, and which I thought was funny. But okay, well, let's see. Tell the folks, A, what we're doing in general for those that were not here for the last couple of times we did this, and then B, what we're doing tonight specifically.
So what we are doing is we are rewatching old Auburn football games and then talking about them, not just the game, you know, the film breakdown or whatever, but the game itself, kind of the meta around it. What was our thinking going in? What was our thinking coming out of it? What did the game mean in the sense of the larger season and for the fans and the team and stuff? And so we've tried to pick exciting, interesting games from Auburn history. We've already done the West Virginia rain game.
Yep.
We've done the LSU interception game.
Yep.
And we've done the Honk If You Sack Brody game.
We did. That's three good ones right there now.
That's three. Yeah, I think we picked some pretty good games. So now we're doing a very kind of the opposite of some of those games in terms of the offensive shootout of this game and the way it was entertaining. This is the 2010 Arkansas Auburn.
I thought you're going to say, when you're doing the opposite, you're going to say, we're doing the 3-2 Mississippi State game. You could just hear you could hear iPhones clicking off all over America. Yes, we're going to break down all the action.
Punt.
Oh, God. I'll go ahead and guarantee and promise that is one. Other than as a joke, I reserve the right to pretend to do that as a joke in the future. Now that we've kind of spoiled it, though, I probably won't. But, yeah, we will not do that game. This is the 2010 Arkansas game, which, I mean, it's funny because forever, right? Ever since 2010, you know, people used to, like Auburn Twitter, we would have these conversations where people would ask, what was your favorite game from 2010? And some people would say, well, some people would say Oregon, obviously, win the national championship. Some people would say Alabama. And I've always said I could never put the Cam back as my favorite game.
No.
Because I spent like half that game Googling the least painful ways to kill yourself. So I don't really think of that as the comeback was great, but It's kind of like, you know,
it's still hard to watch the first half. It's still stressful.
Yes. Why? Oh, and if you really can put your brain back in where it was at that time, it's just so much infinitely worse. I mean, it you know, I've said before that watching the Iron Bowl is like being handcuffed to a bomb. And you're just sitting there for 3.5 hours waiting to find out if it blows up or if you get to live. And watching that particular Iron Bowl was like waking up to find you've been bayoneted by like a Prussian grenadier, you know. He bayoneted you in the gut, and you spend 3 hours trying to take the bayonet out without bleeding to death. That's what watching that game was like. We got bayoneted in the first quarter, and we spent 3 quarters trying to carefully extract that bayonet and not die. That's what it felt. So that's not going to ever be a favorite. It's a great outcome, but it's the polar opposite of. In fact, it's very much the opposite
and pleasant to watch.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of the game we talked about last week, the Honky Fusack Brody, because yes. It was one where Alabama had the big first quarter, and then you know we came back. So, well, anyway, some people say the LSU game, and that was really good. It wasn't really high scoring, but there's two great. You know, there's the Cam play in it. And which is just all you got to say, right? The Heisman play. And then there's that awesome, like, 80-yard run by McCaleb that was the difference. But I've always said, and I mean, there's others. I mean, the Clemson game, there's the SEC championship game where you just butt-stomped South Carolina. But I've always said that my favorite game, I think, just from a football standpoint, was this Arkansas game. Because this game had everything. It had everything.
It had drama. It had maybe, you know, I think... The highest scoring Auburn game ever, maybe?
I've got a few statistics on that as we go along. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, just from a pure like shootout perspective, it's the most kind of crazy shootout game that I can remember Auburn playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like it's similar to the 1984 Florida State game. But with even more scoring and even more crazy stuff than that game had, and you wouldn't have thought you could have a game with more scoring and more crazy stuff than that. Because, you know, that game too was a back and forth track meet with a lot of scoring and some interesting things on defense. Not a lot of defense played, honestly. Some interesting things on special teams, like there was a kickoff that was fumbled and run back, you know. But this game had like two of everything like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, let me see. So the first thing we want to do is put it in context. And, you know, so you're going to talk about Arkansas. Let me talk about Auburn. And by the way, it had a lot of things going for it, too, just to steal a thing from you real quick. It had Bobby Petrino. That's always going to be a thing with Auburn, you know. You had Chizik and Petrino, I'll let you talk about that. But we were undefeated. We were trying to keep that streak going. But let me see. I want to get the context of the schedule. This was game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This was game number 7, and it's worth noting Arkansas was ranked 12, so this was not a crap bad Arkansas team like they have these days. This was a really good Arkansas team. It was the 7th game on our schedule, so today it represents like at the end, the halfway point through that season. And it was the week before we played, undefeated number 6 LSU. So,
in the week after that Kentucky escape.
Oh, Lord. That's right. Amy and I went to the Kentucky game to Lexington, and we were there for that, where we had just killed them in the first quarter, and then they just came back, and tied us, very much like the way we had to go down and win the Oregon game at the end. So, it was right in the middle of the schedule. It was against a good, highly ranked team. We had a wacky game the week before and a huge game coming up at home the week after. And this was, I mean, some of the stuff is obvious, right? I mean, this was Gene Chizik's second year. It was the Cam Newton and Nick Fairley team. You had running backs like, you had that interesting stable of running backs that would be, it's not like we had Cadillac, Ronnie Brown, and Bo Jackson out there, but but it's not like we had Rusty Williams and,
the lizard
either, right? I mean, it was interesting how they did the rotation because clearly the best running back in all around was Michael Dyer. But he was a freshman, and he was injured during this game.
Yes.
So you had Ontario McCaleb, who is an awesome weapon when used properly. But, you know, he has to be used the right way, which is you put him in space, you get him the ball in the sweep. You don't line him up in the I formation, run him up the middle as we tried in 2012. So what they did was that they had Mario Fannin more or less as the starting running back in the first half. They put Dyer in for one play, and he wasn't able to really do anything. And then McCaleb kind of comes in as the change of pace running back. And then you had Fannin also as like the third down back. And what they were doing in the second half of the season really that I thought was so good was they were doing that generally in the first half, and they'd bring Dyer in the second half when teams were kind of getting a little, the defenses were getting a little worn down. And Dyer would just go in there, just like he did against Oregon, remember? He'd come in the fourth quarter and just punish defenses by running over them. And so it was a nice, balanced backfield, I thought, as long as Fannin could hold on to the ball, and that's going to be an issue in this game, obviously. And then on defense, you got Nick Fairley. You also saw a lot of Noza Igwe in this game and a couple other guys I'm going to mention, Carter. You have Josh Bynes at linebacker. You have you see a lot of Nico Thorpe in this game, which is interesting, good and bad. Nico would give with one hand and take with the other, you know. And when I say take, I don't mean take an interception. I mean like take points off your board, put points on the board. And then, of course, the kicker was Wesley Byram. I knew it was B-Y. I'm going to play Bynes. Byram, yeah, of course, Wesley Byram. And this was just a very, you had a very solid offensive line. It was a veteran line. And then Cam.
It was a defense that had a tendency to give up a lot of big plays and a lot of big passing plays.
Especially early. All right. So what about, is that everything you want to talk
Arkansas.
About? Yeah, go ahead. I just didn't know if I'd covered everything you want me to cover.
Oh, yeah, no, I think they're good. Arkansas was an SEC West contender that year.
We
kind of lose that in the shuffle of everything else that happened, but they were a really, really good team. And Petrino was the coach, and there was all this, Petrino had been there in 2002, and, some Auburn fans wanted him clearly in different years, and we'd hired Chizik, and he was at Arkansas tearing it up, and people were like, oh, we wish we had Petrino. And they were an offensive powerhouse, especially in the passing game. They had Ryan Mallett, who transferred from Michigan. They had some really good receivers, Greg Childs. They had Nile Davis at running back. Mm-hmm. They were not a good rushing team. They were last in the SEC in rushing, but they were this second in the SEC in total offense behind this Auburn team. And they were one of the top passing teams in the entire country. And Petrino, as always, was a very good offensive game coach, play caller, a scheme developer, a game plan developer, and their offense was excellent.
Was this not the Arkansas team that more or less that the next year went to like the Orange Bowl or something, played Ohio State really close?
I think this
was it. This
no,
team?
That was this team. Okay. This team lost to Ohio State in the
I just remember Arkansas playing Ohio State in a New Year's Day bowl game and playing them really close and almost beating them. Yeah, that would make sense. It was this year. You know what? I want to say that Petrino leaves after this year and they get that John L. Smith in 2011, and everybody thought that their quarterback was going to be so great, Wilson. And they just did nothing. They went like 2-10 or something. Remember that? Or 4-8 or whatever.
It's 2012. I think you're thinking about. They went.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
in
right.
In 11, he was still there Wilson. Petrino was still there with Wilson, and they went 11-2.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Yeah, I got stuff to say about the Arkansas players as we go along, and I'm sure you do too. So, I did make a note that. The Auburn defense, you're going to see as we go along here, they had their problems, especially in the first quarters of a lot of games against Georgia and Alabama in particular. But when the game was on the line, that defense, they had enough pass rush with those big linemen, including Fairley, but it wasn't just Fairley. And they had dependable linebackers, and they had defensive backs that if you could shuffle the deck just right, you could kind of cover up your problems there. And they were able to find ways to do that as the games went on. And so, having a good pass rush goes a long way, makes up for a lot of other problems. So All right, well, let's get into it. And again, we could be here all night if I go through everything, but I'm going to try to hit the highlights, okay? And there's just a lot of highlights, so here we go. So Arkansas starts out with the ball, and they were the only SEC team that had not punted on their opening drive. So, of course, we hold them and make them punt, and that's awesome. So then we get the ball on our end, and we got Fannin out there, and we're actually doing pretty darn well to start out, but we get holding calls. And we actually got a fair number of penalties in this game. We had several holding calls, particularly on Zimba, who hadn't had any calls in three games before this. So Ryan Shoemaker was not punting. We bring out old Steve Steeman Clark from Def Leppard, and he's punting for us. It was interesting. We had two pretty good punters. I don't know what Shoemaker was doing wrong, but Clark did fine too. So now Arkansas, their own 45. And we just kind of do the back and forth here for a little bit. So this time Arkansas zips right down the field, and they score on a short pass to fullback Van Stuemen. I don't have a joke here. I just like to say Van Stuemen. What's Van doing? Van Stuemen. So it's 7-0 Arkansas. You're going to get a lot of scoring updates here. So then we get a huge – John, special teams in this game.
Yeah, big.
Auburn special teams over and over. So we get a 47-yard kickoff return from Damon Washington up to our – from the goal line up to our 47. And Cam has one of those awesome runs that you never see because he has so many other plays that are even bigger, where he just totally fakes an Arkansas defender out of his shoes and gets 8 yards. This was kind of neat. CBS was counting down how many plays they would run because Gus said if he gets to 80, he's never lost. And they quit showing the counter. I guess they got distracted. It seemed like we ran 80 plays.
We did. But it was like, that's the storyline? Like, you could have come back to it, you know?
They could have, yeah, but they never did. They came back to it one time, and then, because I was watching, and it,
no,
it
yeah. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
We only ran 64 plays.
Whoa, 64. No wonder they didn't talk about it again. Yeah.
But some of the special team stuff messed that up, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, and think how many points we would have had if we had run 80 plays. It's good Lord. So Cam's doing he's doing option reads and stuff. He gets a nice pass to Terrell Zachary. Cody Burns with a great block. We're down to the Arkansas 5. And I had to go play-by-play on this one because this is so great. Cam just bulldozes 3 Arkansas defenders into the end zone for the touchdown. And Gary Danielson says, "My goodness, Florida fans, cover your eyes." And Vern says, "I've never seen a guy score a touchdown and deliver a pancake block on the same play before." Well done, Vern. That is well done right there by Vern.
I really kind of appreciated Vern in this game.
I look at Vern, and I'm just like,
please clap.
Yeah, because that was nice. That was awesome. All right, so it's 7-7. So now Arkansas gets the kickoff. And they note, this is interesting, they note that our pass defense at this point halfway through the season was 92nd in the NCAA. That's about how many teams with a pass defense that's ranked 92nd has won the national championship?
One.
And yeah, one, there you go. And I wonder what, like, if we had played, I mean, Oregon is was a passing team, but really not. They were really more of a I don't know what you call them.
They were a spread team.
Yeah. If we had played like one of those Vinny Testaverde Miami teams with
a really great Big 12 offensive team.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think Cam would have had to just keep scoring and be in the magic eraser. So big tackle by Nico Thorpe. I had to make a note about that. So we hold them and make them punt to our 15. We actually get a block in the back on Chris Davis. You'll hear that name again one of these days. So it's weird. I heard Chris Davis's name mentioned twice in games I've watched from 2010. One was a block in the back in this game, and the other time was when he got hurt on the first play on the opening kickoff of the Oregon National Championship game. That's the only two times I've heard Chris Davis's name called as a freshman this year. But anyway, now we put Mike Dyer in for one play. He gets a few yards, but he's hurt. So we get a great pass to Darvin Adams. There's a personal foul on Arkansas. They do some penalties too. We're up to 44. McCaleb's doing some good stuff. Fannin does some good stuff. And as the first quarter ends, we get called for holding again. And Cam overthrew a wide open Darvin Adams in the end zone, which he doesn't do often. He's usually pretty accurate this season.
Yeah, no, that ball just got away from him because it was the route was there. He saw it. The ball got away from him and overthrew it too much air.
So at this point, with the first quarter over, you would be forgiven for saying, there's no way this is going to look like the LSU game, right? 24-17, something like that. It's 7-7. Auburn and Arkansas. All right, we went through that quarter pretty quickly. What are your thoughts on the first quarter?
Solid. I mean, you know, like you said, it looks like a lower scoring SEC game. Neither team is rolling up and down the field on each other. They're moving the ball, but both teams got some stops in there too.
Yeah.
The stops are almost over.
Yeah. We're about done with that now. The punters can go eat a sandwich because we're not going to need them for a while.
Well, I'm gonna say, like, how many punts have happened so far?
Three or four at least.
Yeah, there are five total punts in the game.
So. I love it. Yes, that's right. That's awesome. That's amazing. Well, I was going to say, I was comparing it earlier to the 1984 Florida State game. But the more I think about it, it's really more like the 1985 Florida State game where Bo was actually playing in it. And it was like, that was the game that was like 28-27 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose. All right. So let's see. So Byram starts out the second quarter kicking a 43-yard field goal, which, as I always say, in 2010, when we kick a field goal or they kick a field goal, it always feels like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You're going to need touchdowns in our game, but it's us. So it's 10-7 Auburn. We kill the Arkansas kick return on their own 12. Again, John, it's the special teams in this game is not just blocking kicks and running back kickoffs and stuff. We didn't let them do anything in terms of kick returns in this. I think they had maybe one decent kick return.
They had a really strong return team too. The special teams did a great job in this game.
They really did. Yeah. So at this point, Mallett has been in for one and a little bit of the second quarter. He is 8-for-12. In fact, I think he started 0-for-4 and then has hit 8 in a row, something like that. They're actually averaging more yards rushing so far, which is really weird. I mean, this Auburn defense was good at stopping the run. They were. They had trouble with the pass. And so it's clear that they've shifted the balance so much to stopping Arkansas's passing game that Arkansas is actually getting more rushing yards on us at this point. So, again, we have to find that balance, you know. So they do some good mix of runs and passes down to our 8, then down to our 2. They get a pass interference in the end zone on DeMond Washington, and they score a touchdown 14-10.
And I think that was a play where Washington didn't need to interfere, but he couldn't see that.
Yeah. That
Fairley was all over the quarterback.
Right, right. And it may have been this one or another one later where they called him for pass interference, and I didn't think he even touched the guy, really. It just kind of looked like he did from an angle. If you could have reviewed that, they'd have been like, no, that wasn't interference. But like he had his arms out to the side, and then the guy fell down. But if you looked at it from another angle, the guy just kind of fell down. He didn't get pushed or anything. Didn't get touched, really. So, but anyway, it's 14-10 Arkansas. Now, as high of a scoring game as this is one of those, I think there's only two moments in the entire game that Arkansas leads, and this is one of them. They will lead again later, which is crazy when I started to panic a little bit. So up to this point now, we're midway into the second quarter, 11 first downs for Auburn, 6 for Arkansas. Washington gets another good return out to the 29, and we're mixing up Cam. Cam's running the ball more now. They had said that Cam was averaging like 15 carries a game. I think he had 15 carries at this point already.
Yeah, in the first half, he had 15 or 18 carries.
Yeah, he carried the ball a lot in this game. He really did. And Ontario McCaleb was doing really well. Cam was doing real well. Oh, there was the one play where he runs around in circles in the backfield, and like five different Arkansas guys are hanging off of him, and he still either throws a pass or runs for like 5 or 10 yards, but it looked like he's going to lose 20, you know, and he just runs all over the place. It's just weird to see a guy that big running around like that. And he's the size of like a defensive end, but he runs around like Manziel, you know, back there sometimes. Yeah. It's crazy. So, and then he busts off one of those runs that really should be in his highlight reel and isn't. He goes from the Arkansas 44 all the way down to their 3-yard line. And I think that The reason that this run is not in his highlight reel as much as it should be is, A, he doesn't quite score. He gets stopped on the three and, you know, doesn't have that big dramatic ending like the one against LSU the next week does. It's a little shorter than the one against LSU, but it looks almost exactly like the one against LSU. And there were so many other big plays in this game. But this was a really big run that I think deserves to be seen more often. So
it was a great play by him. And I think it was more dramatic than the LSU run because I think he made a couple of guys miss.
Yes.
LSU exploded and he was in the open field.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the LSU, when he had to correct himself one time, putting his hand down, and then he was pretty much in a straight line. Whereas this one, he's kind of weaving around. Mm-hmm. And this is where Gary Danielson said he's got a tight end body with wide receiver speed. I thought that Gary and Vern really brought their A game to this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see. Oh, this is where Fannin allegedly does not fumble, but, you know. What did you see here?
The official stat is that Fannin scored and then the ball got knocked out. And that was the replay. There was no defining thing. I 100% think Fannin fumbled before he got it to the end zone.
Absolutely.
It should have been Arkansas ball at the 5-yard line.
Yeah, well, did it go in the end zone? I thought it just went straight down onto the – and they got it on like the one.
It bounced a little bit and an Arkansas guy kind of grabbed it and rolled a yard or two up.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
They got it in a yard or two out of the end zone, but I definitely think he fumbled before he got in.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, because the ball drops straight down and it lands well outside of the – within like a couple of inches outside the goal line. I don't see how it dropped in a diagonal line, you know, like he's over the end zone and he drops it and it lands before the end zone. When he was going forward, all the momentum was forward. I mean – physics just doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, they didn't have a clear enough view to overturn it, and so it's a touchdown for Fannin. But you and I both were pulling our hair out at that point, right, about Fannin. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's a great player, except that he can't hold on to the ball.
Yeah, sometimes bad things happen when he's carrying it.
That's true. So it's 17-14 Auburn. We're back ahead. And we kick off. They start. Blah, blah. Now we all of a sudden have Tyler Wilson in at quarterback, and CBS is discovering. They thought he came in for one play, and Gary Danielson thinks it's like a gimmick. And then they kind of realize, well, wait a minute. You got like Mallett, and you're not playing him. He has to be injured. And then you find out it was apparently when Nick Fairley landed on a lot of quarterbacks that season and did some damage, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. And he absolutely like crushed Mallett into the turf.
He did. I feel so bad about it. So we hold them there down in their own end, and they are going to punt, except what happens? Uh-oh.
Blocked.
It is blocked. And it bounces out of bounds at Arkansas 25. So we've just scored a touchdown to go up three, and now you're putting Cam back out there with a short field. What what words could be more horrifying to an opposing defense than Cam Newton with a short field? That's not a situation you ever want to be in on defense.
No, I mean, and they're in bad shape. Again, their starting quarterback, who's really good, is now out for the game, and Cam Newton's getting warmed up, and our special teams have made several huge plays right here.
Already, yes. So we get this really cool play on the very first play here, because you know what, Gus, especially when he was the offensive coordinator and wasn't the head coach, so he could be a little more daring and risk-taking, Gus always liked to pull that play out of his butt, you know, in a situation like this, pull out yep. the salt and pepper shaker, you know. And so he has Cody go in motion, almost look like an arena league play where he's coming around in a semicircle. And when he gets to the tailback spot of the arc in motion, Cam pitches it to him, and he keeps rolling out and going to look to pass, and he puts it in the end zone but just out of reach of the receiver, which reminds us all one more time why Cody's a receiver and not the quarterback. But anyway. So Cam then just says, look, I'm just going to run the ball, okay? Like, we don't need to do all this fancy stuff. The fancy stuff is in his engineering and his body. We don't need the fancy play. So Cam just runs the 13. Okay, at this point, we are told Cam alone has 106 yards rushing. We're midway through the second quarter, and Cam has 106 yards rushing. I've got more statistics as we go here. McCaleb runs a 13-yard sweep for a touchdown. He was good for a touchdown here and there all season. He got like three against Georgia, I think. So it's 24-14 Auburn. And I just had a note here that Newton and Ontario McCaleb are such a great combination, because what happened there is the defenders have to stay in tight because, you know, Cam had been exploiting them up the middle. So they were cheating inside, trying to jam up the middle because the defensive line couldn't stop Cam. So he was getting into the linebackers in the secondary. So when they start crowding up the middle, you just give it to McCaleb, and he zips around the outside, and nobody can even lay a finger on him. So it was just a great, great combination when it worked. And we used it so many times during this season. And in fact, it's what beat LSU the next week. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so we beat we kick off to Arkansas, and they have a really good pass to Joe Adams to our 47, which is one of the rare times now they're down on our end at this point. Then they get Fairley sacks Wilson back to their own 46. He just gets away from Fairley on the next play and passes to the 30. That's pretty much living and dying by a hair's breadth on these, you know, between Fairley and Wilson the rest of the game. It's either Wilson gets killed or he just gets away a pass and it burns us, you know. I misspelled the name in my notes, but Niall Davis is their running back, and he looked pretty decent to me. I thought he had a very good game.
He had a good game. He is good.
He did do a taunting thing here that got a personal foul, a unsportsmanlike.
He's lucky they went on to score in this drive, because that was a monumentally stupid play.
The offensive lineman came over and like grabbed him and lifted him up in the air and was yelling at him. That was cool. So, yeah, Wilson hits Childs, who was a really good receiver, for a touchdown, burns Nico Thorpe. And it is now just 24-21 Auburn. There's a minute six to go to halftime, so we're getting there. Cam has now accounted for 172 of our 210 yards so far. He's got 12 carries for 115 yards rushing, and he's looking to get about 230 at this rate in the game. He has a 20 115 yards rushing, and then I guess 95 yards passing at this point. And then he tacks on 20 more yards to Cody to the Arkansas 45. And then he just, you know, runs down to the Arkansas 16 like it's nothing. He now has 13 rushes for 143 yards, and it's not halftime yet. He hits Mario Fannin to the 8-yard line on a pass, and there's 17 seconds to go. Dang it, but we get a penalty on Ryan Pugh for a personal foul, puts us back to the 24. We throw a ball in the end zone, get a pass interference. So we get our 15 yards back. But in any case, at this point, there's 1 second left. And so Byram hits the field goal. And at halftime, it is Auburn 27, Arkansas 21. Now, the funny thing is, that seems like a pretty big halftime score. And yet, we've only scratched the surface of where this is going.
Again, the punting is over.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're into picking up the pace in the second half. It's turning into a basketball game.
There's going to be some more short fields. There's going to be some pinball machine. That's right. All right, so it's halftime. Let's go ahead and do this at halftime. I want to make sure we thank our patrons that make shows like this possible. You guys, I hope that you all, we have heard from a number of folks that listen and have said that they're enjoying us doing this. Honestly, I'm not sure, John, what else we would be doing if we weren't doing these blasts from the past, you know, and so we've got to keep doing shows. We want to entertain the public, and we have our patrons that put us on the air to do it. So I think it's been a great thing, and we're going to keep doing them as long as we have to. So here are the fine folks that currently make this show possible. For as little as $1 a month, though we appreciate more if you're so inclined, is awesome. You can join the ranks of the AU Wishbone family at patreon.com. Just go to www.auwishbone.com. By the way, that's also where the first 5 episodes of We Believed are permanently housed. So if you don't feel like digging back through your podcast feed weeks and months and years even, just go to www.auwishbone.com, and I've got the first five. I'm going to add 6 and 7 as soon as I get an opportunity. Very soon it'll be on there, but they're still in the feed, so they're easier to find. But the first 5 have been out for a while. So go to www.auwishbone.com, or just go there and click on the big orange button to become a patron. We have to thank Matthew Flowers, Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. as well as Phil Amthor, Ben Spooner, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, William Glenn Matthews, Gary Grant, Brian Gray, Willie Carden. Had a good conversation with Willie the other day. He wanted to talk to him about some technical stuff he's up to that he thought I could help him with, and I had a really good conversation with him. Tom Anderson, Susan Trawick, Logan Chilton, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, hey Richard, William Morgan, Emmanuel Seaman, WDE Richie, Winston Boddy, and Clinton Stewart, and Christopher Stewart, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Joshua Corbett, John Otsuki, Preston Settle, Daniel Odom, AU Falling Up, Alchemist, Kevin Smith, Clarence Alford, Will Summerford, David Hegler, Johnny Caldwell, Theodore Gary, Reynolds Wolf, Joel Beckham, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, John McCune, David Evers, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, and Rich Reimer. And then we have Rob Morgan, Blake Heron, Hugh Anderson, Stephen Houston, Cato the Barner, Danny Flack, Papa Todd, Russell Milling, Kevin Kenoy, Don Zederman, Ross, Lane Middleton, Shannon Butson, Randall Walker, Shane Bailey, Chris Thrash, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, and C.T. Wayne, and finally, Jeremy Minton, Wardam Wade, Spanky, J.W. Rice, Jason Albrick, Mick Vijakana, Russell Souther, Paul Bankson, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Kevin Mahan, Stephen Wyatt, Trevor Johnson, Auburn Elvis, Robert Drain, Brandon Smith, Royce Alvarez, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Matthew Wagstaff, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Darren Pyle, Chris Camo, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Joseph Miller, that's Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Chris Brant Rumble, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all so much. Go to www.auwishbone.com or just go to patreon.com and look up White Rocket or Van Plexco and become a member of the family and get your name called out like everybody else on the list. All right, let's get into the third quarter now.
You know what?
Yes.
The other thing about this game is you got the classic CBS song at the beginning. You know,
yeah.
It really got me going when I heard it.
And it's not that often that the Auburn-Arkansas game gets the full CBS 230 treatment.
It's true.
I don't know how many times. That's a good question. I wonder how many times Auburn and Arkansas has been the 230. This may be the only one.
It's been a lot of noon games, a lot of night games too.
You know what it's been, John? A lot of the time, it's been
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
And death for us more often than not, right?
You got that right.
I don't get a chance to use that very often, so I was very excited when you said that. I'm like, oh, I get to use the Jefferson Pilot sound. All right.
Well, I think we're all happy this soundboard has got some.
Well, it doesn't come up in general conversation all that often, so I have to use it when I can. All right, so we're going to start out the second half. We get the ball. We start at our 20. Get some good running from all concerned. Ontario and Cam and Fannin all do some good runs. Dyer's only been in for one play because his ankle or something was hurt. All right, here's your latest Cam update. Cam has now accounted for 230 of our 273 yards, 142 rushing yards, 88 passing yards. Now, you know, this is a team sport, and the whole team won us the national championship. But we got to be honest and say there were times in this season that it was Cam by himself. Just put the team on.
I think this is the game maybe when he just fully emerged and was like, yeah, I'm just going to take over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There were some other games where it was more of a team offensive thing.
Yeah.
And in this game, he was like, yeah, here I go.
I think you're right. I think this is the game where he showed that he could.
Yes.
I think that there were moments in the other games, like you said, I think the first quarter at Kentucky, and there were moments against South Carolina and everything. But this is the game where you really just got the sense that if he didn't get hurt, if you weren't just going to wear him out, if this was the last game of the year, he could have just carried the ball every play, and we would have won 90-0, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I just or 90-50 probably is more accurate. So, okay, yeah, that's a good point. So we're doing a lot of sweeps, interestingly enough. I thought that was interesting that we're not doing it. It's basically Cam is the guy going up the middle, and all of the running backs seem to be kind of going around the edges, which is interesting because when we get Dyer later, he is up the middle. He's an up-the-middle kind of guy, you know. And so it really is a nice change of pace in the fourth quarter when Dyer would come in and he's the fastball. You know, and I don't mean that like, I mean, obviously McCaleb is the fastball, but I mean like McCaleb in a, as a runner is kind of your curveball.
Yes.
Dyer comes in and he's the heat. He's just throwing strikes right down the middle at you, you know.
Yeah.
And between him and Cam, my gosh, the defense is just getting run over at that in those games. So, all right. So another 27-yard run by Cam down to the Arkansas 9. He now has 16 carries for 186 yards. He tries two passes from the 10, and he gets sacked on one. He throws one incomplete. I'm like, why are you just have Cam run? Yes. My gosh, why are we? Yes. What? Come on, Gus. What are you? So we kick another field goal. It's 30-21. So we're up 9, but you just don't feel safe the way our defense has been giving up yards. You know what I mean? Did you feel safe at this point the first time?
No.
That's a 9-point difference is nothing. Nothing in this game. So they mentioned that we've won 60 straight games at this point when scoring more than 30 points. I think we're definitely going to score more than 30. So let's see. So we kick off, and again, our special teams pin them deep. They start at their own 15. I mean, we're making them have to go a long way to score, and they are later, you know, in this quarter particularly. But they're really having to work for it. So we held them on third down, but Noza gets called for a hit to the head of the quarterback Wilson, gives them a first down, and they start zipping down the field using screen passes to try to nullify the pass rush up the middle. They go for it on fourth and six and get it, and on the next play is that great pass to Wingo. That's the one isn't that the one where Danielson is like, that was an NFL throw or something like that?
It was. It was a great throw. But, I mean, at the fourth and six was a big play. I mean, again, it's early in the third quarter, and they're going for it on fourth and six. It just shows, like,
yeah,
they know that they can't stop Cam. The only chance is to outscore.
That's exactly right. You're right. Yes. Going for it on fourth down and six this early in the second half, you're right. Definitely. And it wasn't like inside the red zone. This was back out around midfield.
No, it was like midfield. Yeah. It was the right decision.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't question it. But you're right, though. It is very revealing about a lot of things to do with this game that was the right play. Mm-hmm. So it's 30-28 Auburn. And like you said, it's clear that lead is no lead is going to be safe in this game till the end. So they kick off, and again, special teams. What happens next? You get to say it.
Arterian McCaleb runs the ball back 99 yards.
He does. It's crazy. And he gets to the one. How does Arterian McCaleb get tackled? I don't understand. I mean, I watched it like three times going, did this guy get beamed down by the Enterprise to tackle him? How do you tackle Arterian McCaleb?
The bench?
It got that. It's like that Rice. That was it, Alabama and Rice, where the Alabama guy is running, the Rice guy was running down the sideline, and Alabama guy jumped up and tackled him and then jumped back on the bench. I said, I just couldn't stand to see somebody score on my Tide. Oh, my gosh. So,
it was shocking that he was caught, but it's also, it was such a huge momentum swing because it was 30-28, and Arkansas was feeling good. They feel like they're clicking. They feel like they're in the game. And instantly, Auburn's at the 1 yard line with Cam. I mean, instantly, the offense hasn't even got to the bench and got on the Arkansas team and got Gatorade, had a conversation yet. And they're already getting ready to be, you know, get scored on again.
That's right. That's right. It was awesome. Yeah, it was Broadway. They're really fast. I think he's a receiver, wasn't he, or a defensive back one, but he was playing on special teams.
Yep.
He was coming at an angle, and he was fast. And when you put those two together, he was able to get him at the one. And you're like, well, we're going to score the next play, right? Because Cam's just going to walk in. Well, no, we get a delay of game. So we're back to the six.
Frustrating.
So then Cam runs back to the one again. And I love this play. We put Byron Isom and Eric Smith, like one of our offensive linemen, and our street fighter, tough guy, H-back, fullback, line them both up on the same side as fullbacks, and they just blast a hole, and Cam dives in for the touchdown. So 37-28 Auburn. The rushing stats now are two. I mean, Arkansas has not been bad at rushing through a lot of this game. They just kind of quit trying. But the rushing yards now are 260-88 for us against Arkansas. So Arkansas comes out, does a flea flicker bomb for 54 yards to Childs. He has, excuse me, I got the hiccups. He has a pretty good game down to our 27. And then on the very next play, pass over the middle to Adams for the touchdown. The Arkansas drive covered like 80 yards in two plays and consumed about 10 seconds. And it's Auburn 37, Arkansas 35. So, again, bang, bang. It's such a game of momentum. As soon as you say Arkansas is gonna, you know, has got that momentum, then we do the 99-yard kick return and score. And you're like, okay, Auburn just stole all the momentum back. And they come out and score in two plays. Arkansas now has over 300 yards passing. Wilson has been in at this point less than two quarters, okay? And he's 13 of 14 for 234 yards and three touchdowns. Your thoughts?
I mean, I thought we were in good shape when Mallett got hurt, and Wilson absolutely torched our defense. Like, he did. I had forgotten that it was him. In my mind, I guess I thought it was Mallett. I hadn't watched this game in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And Wilson was tearing us apart in this game. And I think part of it is also watching again, like, Petrino was really good. He's a dirtbag human being.
But
he's a good offensive coach. And, you know, our defensive backs would do something, and Arkansas would immediately counter and throw to the open space every time. And by this point, they kind of have a bead on us and where they have the advantages and stuff. And, man, they're rolled up and down the field.
It's funny you say that, because I remember being traumatized by Wilson in this game so bad that when I was watching it this time in the first quarter, I'm like, oh, good, Mallett's in there. I'm like, let's keep him in as long as we can, maybe. Let's keep their Heisman candidate, you know, dude in there as long as we can, because Wilson's going to kill us. I just remembered, oh, man. If we had lost this game, he would go into that pantheon with those running backs from 2001, 2002 that we hate so much that just killed us.
But this is about whatever, 6 minutes of game action where there was like, whatever, 20 points scored. It was just awesome.
Yes, absolutely. So Washington returns out to 27. Again, we're stopping them deep, and we're getting good returns. That's a good combination. So on third down, Cam actually gets sacked again. Cam got sacked more than once in this game, interestingly enough, and we punt. And
only punt of the second half by either team.
That's amazing, yes. That's amazing. So they start their 36, and then Nile Davis has some plays, including a great run to our 28. So their running game was there when they decided to actually use it. And that's going to bring the third quarter. That was quite a third quarter, and yet we still got craziness to come. So third quarter is over with the score is – I lost track of the score in this game. Imagine that. 37-35. So we go into the fourth quarter with 37 points, and yet we only got a two-point lead. And and they've got the ball in our 28.
Well, you got to feel like if you're an Auburn fan – things have kind of been going our way. We get the special teams plays with, and they're backing quarterbacks in, and we're only up 2 points. So the way Wilson's hot is making you nervous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that not only that, they're about to take the lead by six. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a game that, like you said, our special teams are playing great. We're scoring almost every time we have the ball. Cam's got like astronomical numbers, and yet we're about to be losing by six in the fourth quarter. It doesn't make sense. It's crazy. So, yeah, they on first play of the fourth quarter, third down, or right about, Childs catches and runs for the touchdown. And Wilson at this point is 15 for 17 for 270 yards. That you'll take that every day of the week and twice on Saturday, man. 15 of 17 for 270 yards. They do a two-point conversion pass that works, and they are now up 43-37. So it's Arkansas 43, Auburn 37 with less than one quarter to go. So Auburn, we should be sweating, right? Well, you can relax a little bit. Things are going to get better. Like I said, this is when I really got nervous that we couldn't outscore them the way Wilson was playing, and yet, that's kind of a spoiler. I'm going to hold off on that if you don't know. All right. So, again, great return by Damon Washington out to our 32-yard line. I mean, I don't know. I didn't look up what our kick return yardage was in this game, but if you combine that 99 from McCaleb with all of Washington's returns, we probably had, 200 yards? Easy?
I can tell you.
Okay. I had I'm going to say right around 200, maybe more, 205.
We had... Actually, we had no punt returns, but we had 180 yards in kickoff returns.
Wow. Yeah. I knew it was going to be close to 200. No?
I'm sorry. They had 180 yards.
Oh, kickoff God.
We had 221 yards.
That sounds a little more right.
I was wrong. They only kicked off five times. We averaged 45 times every time they kicked off the ball.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm talking about. The hidden statistic in this game was special teams and especially kick returns. The block punt didn't hurt.
The block punt, the kickoff returns, and we're going to have some defensive turnovers.
Yes.
You know, that give us some yards, too.
Oh, yes, we are indeed. It's going to start looking like Terry Dean in the swamp. So, Auburn has run 52 plays so far. We have 345 yards, which is not bad at all. But Arkansas so far, John, has 492 yards of offense.
Good gosh.
God almighty. We're going to win.
They chewed our defense up.
We're going to win this game by more than 20 points. And that doesn't even make sense. 492. All right. So we get a great catch from Emory Blake, who dropped one earlier. There, remember, Blake kind of went through some growing pains this season where he would drop the ball early. It was a little tentative, but he got much more confident as the season went on. So he gets down to their 30. Fannin gets a good run down to their 17. They're still giving the ball to Mario Fannin. I'm like, really? Really? Okay.
It's what we got. Dyer's hurt.
That's true. And then Emory Blake, touchdown catch in the end zone for 15 yards. And with the kick, it is 44-43. And it really is looking like that the Florida State game from 84 at this point. And at this point, Vern referenced the 3-2 game at this point. We're all thinking, you know, we've come a long way from 3-2 over Mississippi State. Wow. Okay. So they start out down around their 20, 21. They get a good pass to Childs. At this point, Wilson has four touchdowns, two incomplete passes. He is 17 for 19 for 290 yards. He's thrown two incomplete passes. One of them was when he threw it away because nobody was open. So he's only had like one drop pass. It's crazy. They get a this is it. This is the moment the wheels start to come off. Do you agree?
Yes.
This is when the wheels start to come off. Third and one, they hit a pass to Green. I forget what his first name was. He gets the first down. He fumbles. And Zach Etheridge picks it up and runs it back for a touchdown. They do a long review on it. It's really close, but if he was down or not. But ultimately, we really got all the breaks in this game, didn't we? I mean, it seemed like all the reviews went our way in this game.
And again, we're up one, and their offense is just chewing us up. We were just laughing about it.
Yeah.
And here, right here.
There it
is. Fumble, and the defense runs it back. Especially so happy for Zach Etheridge, too.
Well, when anybody other than your offense can either score or put you in scoring position, it's so big, right? I mean, we did the ultimate one of those a couple of weeks ago with LSU in 94. But, it makes such a difference when the defense and the special teams can really help out. Look at the Iron Bowl in 2019, right? We talked about that. So it's 51-43, and Arkansas has got to feel shell-shocked because they've got 43 points on the road against a top 10 team. They've got like 8,000 yards through the air, and they're down 8. It's just got to be crazy. So Arkansas starts over again. Their return guy is getting killed at this point when they try to return kicks. They can't even get past the 20. They said this is Auburn's first game with over 50 points against an SEC opponent since Vanderbilt. You knew it would be Vanderbilt in 1990. I want to know what was the last time we scored more than 50 on somebody that wasn't Vanderbilt at this point. It was probably a Terry Bowden team, but if it was 90, it was Vanderbilt. So it had to be back in the 80s at some point. I don't know. I don't remember Pat Dye ringing up any SEC teams for over 50 points, to be honest. We got close with some, but we know we did Florida State that way.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't really. Probably have to go back to Pat Sullivan or something. So, so the first play of this drive, Wilson throws an interception right over the middle to Josh Bynes, our linebacker, who returns it to the Arkansas 12. Cam runs down to the 3. At this point, they share with us that Arkansas has 508 yards. Auburn has 413, which again, that's offensive yards. It shows you the difference that defense and special teams are making too. So this is another Cam blasts his way up the middle for a touchdown, and it's 58-43. Arkansas, in the blink of an eye, is now down 15. Yeah. How did that – they were winning a minute ago, and now they're down 15. And so they think, well, we'll just get right back in it, right? We go down, score a touchdown, we'll only be down one score. There's still 8 minutes and 31 seconds. Let me reiterate that, John. It's 58-43 with 8.5 minutes still to go in the game.
I just did the math while you were talking, and we had over 300 total return yards in this game.
Holy cow. Holy cow. And I'm like, with 8.5 minutes to go, we're up 58-43. I'm still not comfortable. Because Arkansas could still score 30 points if they don't do something stupid. But guess what? Again, they do something stupid. They start at their own 18, which is, again, our good kick coverage. They're not getting good returns. They're having to start deep in the hole. They note it's the first game between two SEC opponents with more than 100 points combined since 1995. That was before overtime, too, interestingly enough. Non-overtime game for sure. So Wilson comes out, and I believe on the first play, throws right back over the middle again, right to Josh Bynes again for an interception again. That's unbelievable. It reminds me of when Terry Dean or Werfel threw the third, like, right over the middle interception to Brian Robinson of Florida. Yeah. And Spurrier's like, well, I didn't tell him to do that. I don't know why I did it. I didn't call that. I'm not that stupid.
Also like the Arkansas plays here, like they had the fumble return for a touchdown by Etheridge. They come out, they run, you know, it's not many plays before he throws the interception. And then he comes back out and immediately throws the interception again. So they're not getting it, their offense isn't getting anything going, and they're just shooting themselves in the foot again and again and again, deep in their own territory.
Yeah, it's like the last time they actually had anything going on offense, they were winning. And then when they finally do a running play again, even, they're down like 20-something points, 22 points. It's crazy. It started out like the 84 Florida State game. It is now turning into the 85 Florida State game, where just the wheels came off the Seminole bus in the fourth quarter. And the final score of that game was 59-27 Auburn over Florida State. So if those of you younger Auburn fans or that don't know about our history of the mid-80s and you hate Florida State, just know that there was one year we went down to Doak Campbell and beat them by one and killed them. And then the next year, it was like a one-point game in the fourth quarter, and we beat them 59-27. Bobby Bowden was just like in a daze, little birds flying around his head. So, okay, so we take over at their 47. It's a little further out. At least it was a longer pass that got intercepted. That helped him. So Dyer comes back in and gets for his second play and gets 12 yards. And on the next play, just rips it up the middle for a touchdown. I don't know what happened to Arkansas defense. Were they just they look like tissue paper at this point?
Arkansas just shell shocked.
Yeah,
I mean, they thought they were in control. They were winning. You know, very shortly game time wasn't that long ago. They were winning, and now they're down. It was 22 points.
22 points. Yeah. So you could tell he wasn't even healthy. I mean, he limped through the middle of their defense, limped into the end zone, and was basically untouched. You're just like, my gosh, that's just pitiful. So, man, I wish our offense could look like this against Oregon or against Alabama. But anyway, I'll take it. All right, let's see. So this is Auburn's first game with more than 60 points against an SEC opponent since Florida in 1970, which I guess would have been the other answer. Mm-hmm. I said Arkansas has just been lighting it up like a pinball machine, and they look up and they're losing by 22 points. How must that have felt to Arkansas to know that they threw up 43 points on the road against a top 10 team and they're down 22 and haven't even come close to stopping us?
I think they have to just look up and go, well, it's just not our day. We're playing a team with the offense we'll never be able to stop.
It is not. Yeah, they really just needed to like call it on a mercy rule and go home. They needed to go home at this point. 108 points total. Arkansas. Wilson now has 4 touchdowns, 2 incompletions, and 2 interceptions. Mm. 4 touchdowns and then 4 passes that were not completions. 2 were incomplete, 2 were interceptions. He's got as many interceptions as he does incompletions. Both teams have 54 first downs combined. That's insane, isn't it?
Yes.
54. Let's see. Jake Holland almost intercepted. That would have just been salt in the wound. We get the ball back. We run out the clock, and the final score is Auburn 65, Arkansas 43. Auburn goes to 7-0. And let me see. We would, after this game, we would rise to number 5 in the polls. And then after, of course, that LSU game, we go up to number 3, and there was really no stopping us after that. So we've talked a lot about how the defense and the special teams really had more to do with this game. I mean, you know, we remember Cam being dominating this game, and he was. But, yeah, it was just there. Every phase of the game looked good, except for the pass defense, looked good in this game.
It did. I mean, and they made big plays, again, but they had 3 turnovers, and we had none.
Yeah.
And that was huge. And that combined with the special teams performance. The special teams, you know, you can't overlook that in 2010. This was another game where they were huge, and we talked about that a good bit. So I think that, you know, made up for the defense. And I think this team was just really starting to, you know, show what they could do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this game was kind of almost like a laboratory for us to try a lot of different things out.
Yes.
I don't know if it's good or bad that just they all worked pretty much. You know, I mean, I don't know how much you learn when everything works, when you get 20 yards on everything you try, basically. But one thing we definitely learned was, unless you have a very stout defense, Cam can get what he wants from you if all else fails. Now, and against Alabama, you know, by the second half, he was pretty much figuring out how to do that. So they're the only ones that really slowed him down. So this team really was a juggernaut when they had everything going well. And there were a lot of games where they had to depend mostly on Cam or on Fairley doing some big things or whatever, like Mississippi State game and all. But when they had when they were hitting on all cylinders, man, this was really just an offensive and special teams, particularly juggernaut with some great defensive components. So, all right, so kind of wrap things up for us on this game and its place in history and everything.
Well, I think, again, it was a perfect October Saturday. It was a beautiful day. It was the big CBS game, and it was one of the most entertaining and fun Auburn shootouts and Auburn wins, home wins that, you know, we've ever had. I just think that this was, you know, in the Cam experience, there was some other great wins, but this was maybe the most fun it got. Do you know what I'm saying? And like you said, there was 1,000 incredible, exciting, huge plays in this game. So you absolutely got your money's worth as a fan.
Oh yeah, almost every play. Almost every play was something at least somewhat dramatic. And think about this. You had a coach that I wouldn't say we feared, but a coach that we respected as a football mind, right?
Yes.
You know, and you had a team that had given us fits through the years when they shouldn't have. So it's not like we were playing Florida State or LSU, you know, or something like that. But on the other hand, it was a team that has treated us like we would expect to get occasionally from Florida State or LSU or something, even though they're not that. And so it's like if the outcome had been what it was in this game and we had been playing Florida State or Florida or Alabama or something, it would have been even bigger. But it's not like we were playing Louisiana Tech either, you know what I mean? Or Ole Miss. This was a team that had given us fits on and off for decades. And we went into this game thinking we could be looking ahead to LSU, you know?
Yep.
So it was just huge to get it out of the way.
And I say huge!
That's right.
There we go.
There we go. All right, do we have any listener questions or comments this week?
No. Did you have any more stats, or did you use them all?
No, I used them all.
I just wanted to point out the other stat that always sticks to me about this game is,
yeah,
we averaged 7.3 yards per play in this game.
God.
And they averaged 7.4.
Good Lord.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Oh, I think we do, and it was not good. Yeah, this is not what you call a sparkling defensive exhibition. But, like you said, they were opportunistic. I mean, they did turn the ball over. They were on the receiving end of some very easy interceptions, but the defensive line putting the pressure, you know, contributed to that.
And Fairley knocked Mallett out of the game, too.
Yeah. And if Wilson gets crushed under Fairley enough times, he'll start throwing the ball a little quicker, too.
Yeah, and Etheridge made a huge play.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, just an all-around – I mean, again, the weak link in all of this was the pass defense, which is unfortunate when you're playing that team. But everything else compensated so well that it ended up being a blowout anyway. So, all right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that one as much as I did, and certainly I think you did.
I have to say, I really enjoyed watching that game again.
I did too. And
if
I just
stuck at home, and you need something to do. Like, that's a fun rewatch.
I'd watch like a highlight of it. And again, one of the things I'm enjoying doing this is that I'm realizing that the last few years I've gone from watching the entire games of the games we're watching to just kind of watching the highlight reels. And you realize how distorting the highlight reels can be. You'll see the fun plays, but you don't have the real context and the contours of everything, you know? And so there's a lot more to it. And getting to watch the entire game and not hitting the fast forward all the time even makes a big difference in terms of just the ebb and flow. And I'm really enjoying that. So I'm glad we're doing it. Do you have any thoughts as to what we're going to do next?
Again, I would like to say, if you have a suggestion or a request for a game that we do, then we'll be happy to do it. We'll consider doing it at least. I mean, I think we have some ideas, the things, but I don't want to say because we're not locked in yet, but we have some ideas. We have some things that we've thought about. But if there's a game that you've listened to us do these other games and you're like, man, I wish they would do this game from the... from the 80s or the 90s, the early 2000s, and let us know and we'll do it.
Yeah, basically somewhere between 81 and 2012, and surely nobody's going to pick 2012. So basically from 81 through 11 would be what we're kind of looking for here, because we started our show in 12, Lord help us. And so we've covered them all since then. So go back into the archives if you want to hear those. So if you want to hear the 2013, the kick six, it's there. It's been listened to about 10,000 times now by folks, but it's there. So
again, if you need something to brighten your day one day, you're having a tough day while this is going on, then I recommend the post-kick six
part. Post-kick six game. It was one of our finest hours. All right, man. Well, I reckon we'll get on out of here. It's been fun. Yeah, let us know if you have suggestions for what we can do next time. Otherwise, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.